Hey, this is Steve Snowball Sailor, and this is previously what happened on This Week in Geek. I have no idea what happened, but listen to this anyway.
That moment will not be silent.
But it will be deadly.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Goddamn.
Can't you just tape the microphone to your head?
That's not helping.
Where you replace Just Another Day with Just Another Pop-Tart.
I've always been more of a toaster strudel guy.
Yeah, it's too much work. Just throw the Pop-Tart in the toaster, push the button, and that's it.
Yeah. But it has to be name brand. It can't be like
off-brand.
Yeah, well, toasters.
Otherwise,
yeah.
It's cardboard.
Yeah, obviously.
They all taste the same to me now.
The weirdest Pop-Tart I had was the Orange Crush ones and the
Ew.
Yeah, they weren't all that good.
I think the weirdest one I had was the
watermelon.
The chocolate peanut butter. Look, sometimes I like chocolate and peanut butter, but I'm sorry, the chocolate peanut butter Pop-Tarts are disgusting as all hell.
The weirdest one I had was the one I dropped on the ground and still ate. It tastes like floor.
And now, an even bigger disaster, a show called
This Week in Geek.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world. And TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world. Of This Week in Geek, This Week in Geek.
Hello and welcome to This Week in Geek's Nerd News Network. This is episode 20, where we will be popping the geek culture bubble this week. Hoping you enjoyed last week's episode. As usual, I am joined by Alex the Gravy Moose. Hello.
Hello, hello.
And Mr. Pop-Tart with a shotgun over there.
Good day to you.
Pop-Tart with a shotgun, I like that. We need a cartoon drawing of that. That should be
Pop-Tart.
I'm going to have to do a flavor of the week from now on.
Yeah. Trust me, I have a few artist friends that can do that, so I'll get them on that. Somebody said something about, what is it, the 10th of this month, that's National S'mores Day or something. I don't know.
I guess I have to look up National Stupid Days of the Month and see what comes up.
Please.
Probably a National Stupid Day.
Yeah. All 365 of them.
National Stupid Day. Oh, there's one. It's called the Garfield Wiki.
Oh. I hate Mondays.
Yeah. List of unofficial observances by date. Oh, geez. There's one for like every day of the year.
Yeah, that's why I said all 365 of them. I mean,
Ice Cream for Breakfast Day is the first Saturday in February.
Well, that's not that stupid. But then again, some months I have ice cream for breakfast almost every day, so it's just
Clients
depends.
Day, a day for your clients, okay. Can we know about 420 DNA Honesty Day in USA, April 30th? So is that the day that Trump doesn't do anything? Just sleeps the whole day?
no, that's Star the Wars. Day Junior starts, you know, commiserating with the Russians. Oh, God. Oh,
okay, here you go. Here's stupid. June 28th, Caps Locks Day for your keyboard, and it's all in Caps Locks. The title. There we go.
October 22nd.
Yes, exactly. You found the list.
There's two Caps Locks
Day. What else? Hobbit Day. Okay, well, we got standard nerd stuff.
Oh, there's Monkey Day. That's always fun.
No mole, more jumping on the bed.
October 23rd, Mole Day. Is that when the moles come to take us over?
Yep.
Mole.
Okay, November. First Friday in November. Love Your Lawyer Day.
No, never. It would have to be. It would have to hit negative 90 degrees for that to ever happen.
Oh, December 14th is Monkey Day.
No more jumping on the bed.
I do like that.
Having deja vu here.
They do have Festivus listed, which is great.
It's a Festivus for the rest of us.
I like the International Sweater Festival.
Oh, that's great.
Ooh.
Oh, there we go. Actually, wait, September 28th, Ask a Stupid Question Day. I guess it's fun. And then October is National Pizza Month.
Every month. Well,
yeah, I was going to say every month should be a National Pizza Month. I mean, come on. Although, you put pineapple on this thing, we're going to have a problem.
No. It's just a Canadian thing.
Ain't that the truth? Damn Canadians ruining our
heritage. Yeah, and yet we call it Hawaiian pizza.
Oh, God.
I just didn't want to admit it.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't realize that, like, the Canadian pizza, like, most people just call it deluxe up here. But it's just that it's got bacon, pepperoni, mushroom. And then sometimes you add other, like green toppings to it, you know, vegetables. But in the States, like, I had never heard of it before. Was it all dressed? That's basically the same thing.
Mm.
I'm like, what the hell is an all dressed pizza? Like, has it got, like, salad dressing on it or something? It's like, nope. It's just all the vegetables. Thank you, Costco, for letting me know that.
I learned something today.
At Costco.
Of all places, Costco.
The place where you can get a hot dog and a drink for $1.50, and then you don't want to question what's in the hot dog.
So next year, this year is a lot of 25th anniversaries for things. Next year is 1993's 25th anniversary, which means that TMNT3 will be 25 years old next year. Help, I'm a turtle and I can't get up.
I actually liked that movie but when it came out. But
I watched it so many times as a kid.
That's the time travel one, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure. I think we had it on beta cassette.
Oh, God. That must mean I had it on reel-to-reel since I'm older than you.
Or it just means that that's all my parents got at their wedding was a Betamax player.
Wow. Worst gift ever.
Well, except that's how I watched the Transformers movie and Back to the Future and all those things. I still have a couple of tapes around here somewhere.
Yep. Oh, boy. So have you settled in with us yet, Tristan?
I'm used to all the little things by now.
That's
good. I just choose to move on. Let them happen and live my own life.
Yep, exactly. All right, so we got any follow-ups from last week, guys? I don't think so.
Not much is happening.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time remembering what our stories were.
Go back and listen to episode 19.
I had the lamp one. I remember that.
Yeah. I actually have told, like, several people about that, and they're like, really? How would that? I'm like, here.
It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so I'm probably going to be the only one talking about this because I'm probably going to be the only one that even cares about it because everybody else probably is going to hate it. Oh, wait, Dodd isn't here. We're going to grab our air guitars because it's time for some...
Music news.
Time goes by and the shadows crawl. Crushing candy, crushing pills. Got no job, mom pays my bills. Texting exes, get my fill. Sweating bullets, Netflix chills. World's out there singing the blues. 20 more dead on the evening news. Think to myself, really, what's the use? I'm just like you, I was born to lose. Why, oh why, can't you just fix me? When all I want to feel numb, but the medication's all gone. Why, oh why, does God when all I want to get high and forget this so-called life. I am so freaking bored. Nothing to do today. I guess
I'll sit around in anarchy. I am so freaking bored, nothing to do today. I guess I'll sit around in Medicaid. Can't wait to feel better than I ever will. Attack that shit like a kid on Benadryl. Chase it down with a hopeful smile. Hate myself, I can go for miles. They say family's all you need. Someone to trust can help you breathe. Inhale that drug, but you start to choke. You fall on the outs of an inside joke. Why, oh why can't you just fix me? When all the walls feel numb, but the medication's all gone. Why, oh why does God hate me? Cause I've seen enough of it, heard enough of it, felt enough of it, had enough of it. I am so freaking bored, nothing to do today. I guess I'll sit around and medicate. I am so freaking bored, nothing to do today. I guess I'll sit around and medicate. Superman is a hero, but only when his mind is clear, though. He needs that fix like the rest of us, so he's got no fear when he saves that bus. All the stars in the Hollywood Hills, Snapchat live when they pop them pills. All those flavors of the rainbow, too bad that shit don't work, though. Your friends are high right now, your parents are high right now. That hot chick's high right now, that cop is high right now. The president's high right now, your priest is high right now.
So we hope you enjoyed Theory of a Dead Man's new song, RX, coming off their new album, Wake Up Call, which is going to be out this October 27th of this year, and I cannot wait. I have been, every time a new, like, I don't listen to, I have songs in my playlist, folks, of whatever songs I like and things like that, but it's not like I actively listen through an artist's entire catalog. I've done that before, but I don't do it regularly. So I will listen to a new album from a favorite band like Theory of a Dead Man for, I don't know, 2 or 3, 4 months, and then I'll just throw whatever songs I like into rotation into my favorites playlist. And but RX is a really cool song. It's they're trying to evolve as a band. They're trying to sound a little bit different, and yeah. It still sounds like them, but it's a lot different compared to what was on Savages, which was the last album in 2014. And how were you say, Tristan?
Well, I'm never upset to hear Theory of a Dead Man. Never go, oh, God, Theory of a Dead Man. I just go, it's Theory of a Dead Man. Okay, I guess that's what's on.
Yeah, because they're not a bad group at all.
No.
None of their music is annoying in any you know, way, shape, or form, and they've just not been at the top of my list to listen to. Like, if they're on, I'll listen to them.
Yeah.
It's good music. Like, I imagine they'd be a good show to go see.
They are.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't grab me like some music, but I never feel repulsed by it. I never feel the need to change the channel when it's on. It's just filler for me.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's fair. So grab those remote controls, because it's time to switch over to some
TV news.
So my story is this week on Nerd News. I figured I'd grab some TV stuff. The Greatest American Hero Complete Series DVD is getting re-released. So there's that. Anybody missed out on that?
Is it from Mill Creek?
They
did all those Steve and Jake and Al shows from I had them all back like 10 years ago when they were releasing them, and they were dirt cheap.
It does not look like Mill Creek, but no, I could be wrong. No, returning to DVD September 6th, 9-disc sale, 3-season.
I clicked on the link, and it's a different company, but I've never heard of them before.
Yeah. It's not your standard. I almost wish it was Shout Factory, but it's not, sadly. The other TV story I've got is all about Justice League action.
Batman to Justice League. The Joker just left city limits.
The heat is on! Go, Superman!
These men are your friends? More like sidekicks, Mother.
Superman? Wonder Woman? Batman? Am I in trouble? I can fix that. Yeah, I'm just gonna need some duct tape. Alright, I'll need like a lot of duct tape.
Oh my god, I love this cartoon. Season 1, Part 1 is coming. We have finalized box art. 2 discs, 26 episodes will be released on DVD October 10th of this year. One of the reasons why I love this cartoon is because it's friggin' Kevin Conroy as Batman.
Well, anything he does as Batman is
I've heard of this. Now, is this one of those shows where it's like 8-minute episodes, or is it like a full 20-minute episode per?
It's twofold. It's both, actually. There, if you look at the DC Kids YouTube, and I will put links in the post so everybody can see this, they do like little shorts.
Okay.
And then they have the full 22-minute episodes as well. But it's the cast doing both things. And it's just so fun. I think it was the Comic-Con trailer from last... Whenever they debuted the actual trailer, I think it was at San Diego Comic-Con last year. I could be wrong. I'm not looking up that information at this point in time. But when they first debuted the trailer that the series is coming, you see all this stuff and everything else, and you see all the villains and whatever, and then you got Batman fighting somebody, and it cuts to him on a close-up, and he goes, did you, in that Kevin Conroy Batman voice, did you miss me? And I'm like, hell yes!
Well, so it's like, I'm a little behind. I was watching some of the other shows, like I may be a little bit farther behind, actually. I was watching Young Justice and other things.
Yeah, Young Justice was the series they did a few years ago. Supposedly Netflix has it, and they're supposed to be doing a third season, but I have not heard anything that is different than this.
Because I remember I was watching it when it was live, and then I got pissed off when they were canceling everything left and right.
Yeah, but that was Cartoon Network. They always cancel crap.
Yeah.
They always cancel the good stuff that people actually want to watch versus, you know, crap that people don't want to watch, like, you know. I'm trying to think what's on there now. I don't even know. Whatever's on Cartoon Network right now, it's crap. Craptoon Network. But yeah, no, I am super stoked. At first, I was worried about this news story, though, because it is only a 2-disc set. So, I mean, it does have all 26 episodes.
Well, a 22-minute episode of a cartoon can be compressed pretty small and still retain good quality. So it's the equivalent of getting, I think, 6 episodes of a 1-hour show on 1 disc. So it can be done without really losing any quality. So it should be fine.
Yeah, let's hope.
They got some strong names on this series for their cast.
Oh, yes, they do.
Despite the obvious Kevin Conroy, opposite Mark him Hamill. Is, of course, Mark Hamill as Joker, amongst mm-hmm. many other characters. You got John DiMaggio, mm-hmm. Troy Baker, John Michael Cryer. Dorn, yep. Gilbert Gottfried.
You got another Batman on here, too. Mr. Oswald himself, Diedrich Bader, who played him in Brave and the Bold. I mean, yeah, the voice cast for this is just awesome. And
it looks like a who's who of everybody that's done any of the previous shows before.
Brent Spiner, Robert Picardo, yep. Tara Strong, of course.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be... Being that it's such a clean... I'm looking at it now, it's such a clean art style. It's mm-hmm. not going to be low quality on DVD. It's going to be fine the way it is.
Yeah, no. What I was saying was I'm used to the older DVD releases where it's like 3 discs, 4 discs, 5 discs. Like,
yeah.
Even for a season, because, you know, even 5 years ago, the technology was not as high tech as it is now. But I cannot wait for this. I really, really cannot wait. October 10th needs to hurry the hell up and get here.
Well, this would be one where they could have put the whole show on a single Blu-ray, and that would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I know they've gone back and started doing that with some of their back catalog with the Warner Archive,
mm-hmm.
where you can get was it Batman Brave and the Bold or something like that, where you can get like each season on 1 or 2 discs of Blu-ray.
Yep. Yeah, it's gonna be awesome getting this because I've seen bits and pieces of this series. I've seen bits and pieces of Justice League Action, and I do watch the mini shorts that the DC Kids YouTube channel puts out. I watch those, but I haven't actually watched the entire series yet. I think I've seen like the first episode, and that's it. So, can't wait for this. All right, it is time to grab those game controllers, folks, because it's time we talk about some...
video game news.
All right, Tristan, we've got Broke Brothers, do we?
The Broke Brothers, okay. Well, as someone who is into esports, this kind of hits home. It's been an issue for quite some time, and this is no exception. Some of the top Smash Brothers players in the world are claiming they're owed thousands of dollars after a tournament called Beast 7 was held in Sweden last February. Adam Armada Lindgren, who placed first in the event's Super Smash Brothers Melee bracket, tweeted that Beast 7 had yet to provide an explanation of where all the money went, because they haven't got any of it. Other players have also come forward about some missing winnings. It was noted that the tournament organizer Alexander Lolix Gabrielsson hadn't responded to any emails since March, and other organizers have asked players not to post about him until an official statement was put out. One of the Beast staffers has confirmed through Reddit that there was a delay on delivering the prize pool, which so far totals over $15,000 over 6 events. The staffer expressed some concerns about Lolix's financial strategy, mentioning Lolix does not seem to be able to work with numbers well and does not want to work on a budget. The official statement by Beast says, "The winnings unfortunately cannot be paid out. The money intended to go to prizes has been spent to pay for the unexpectedly high costs of hosting the tournament. When asked about other methods to pay up the winnings, the Beast representative replied, some form of donation or bailout, which seems highly unlikely." This is far from the first time competitive players have been shorted on earnings. There are a lot of events between a lot of other competitive games like CSGO, and I know CSGO is pretty rough for it. What else do we got here? Mentions there's an entire esports company does play. It just went out of business and vanished. And some players want to unionize to try to minimize how much these erratic payout schedules seem to happen. So there's a lot of players. They play these tournaments. They have they win everything. There's a prize promised to them, and then it just never shows up. That's pretty crappy.
It sounds like what they could really use is like an oversight committee for all these events.
Yeah, I mean,
like a third party that basically is a holding company to hold the money.
Or even, esports wants to establish itself as a very legitimate business, a legitimate sports.
You need entity. A league that handles all of that.
Yeah, they need an overseeing league for a lot of these different games. There's so many different games, so it's difficult to just have one unified league like the NHL or the NBA. but some sort of body that can oversee and make sure that there are standards that are being held for all these games. And maybe, in addition to that, have something the equivalent of a players association. It's got the NHLPA that represents all of the hockey players in North America. Something for esports players could like come into effect as well.
Like Electronic Players Association or something.
Exactly. EPA.
Well, I mean, it's going to be fine because Trump's getting rid of that one, right?
That's true. There's an opening.
But I guess it would have to be the IEPA, the International Electronic Players Association or something.
That's true. It's definitely not just a North American thing. It's worldwide and Korea, very heavy.
You'd have to find something that... It would have to be the one that controls the money. It would have to be where, like, let's say an event's sponsored by somebody, the money would have to go to them to then disperse, because you're going to encounter all these issues when you're going from country to country where maybe they've never even hosted an event before. Maybe they are just looking at this as a way of laundering money, because there are no regulations for it at all, right?
Yeah, it's such a new ground that there's a lot of opportunity for people that are looking for a way to do these money laundering scams, or just scams to get people to give them money for free. Come buy a ticket for something, then we're just going to turn around and not spend it on what we say we're going to spend it on.
Yeah, that's not cool at all. Oh, not cool.
Do you have anything to say on that?
It reminds me of every single episode of American Greed that I watch.
Yeah.
About Ponzi schemes and all of that. That's what it reminds me of.
As the one hosted by Stacey Keach.
That's right. I'm not saying anything about what the guy has done or hasn't done. I don't know, but it's going to suck.
Yeah, it's just
for the players.
An example of something that's been rampant in the esports scene for a few years. There's been tournaments for all sorts of games that winnings just don't end up paid out, or it takes months for the winnings to show up. Even small events where the prize pool is only a couple of $1,000s between all the available winners, it still takes months for these players to be paid what they're owed. And for some people, that is their living.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if in some cases, if it's a matter of they don't have the money at all, the promoters, and they're literally waiting for the sponsors to pay them. And if that's the case, a lot of times after an event is over, they could be in the contract that they have 90 days or more to get the money from the sponsor to begin with before they start dispersing things. So, and then they might have to get that money, then pay back what they owe for the convention hall where they held it. So they're running in a deficit where it takes up to 6 months to even pay anybody.
And in this case, it's never.
Yeah.
The overhead is too big.
Well, I mean, you would think that, you know, all the sponsors and everything else and all of that and being able to have the venue, you'd think all of that would have been paid up front.
But that is the point of this.
That's not how things actually work, though. They usually don't. They usually give a deposit for the basics, and then shady shit can happen.
Yeah, like they mentioned that this guy who organized this tournament was not very good with numbers and didn't want to work on a budget. So he likely just started spending the money, and the players want, you know, a high definition TV. They actually don't. If you know Smash Brothers, you know you're supposed to play on an old CRT monitor, but they want the best stuff everywhere. Oh, go ahead, just spend the money on that, and then all of a sudden they realize they're out of money, and we have to pay the players something. Let's just not. The end.
That's not good at all. Oh my god, that's crazy.
Yep. We'll be right back.
Okay, Alex, why are you crashing into Spyro?
Well, I picked up the I picked up the Crash Bandicoot trilogy remastered, the Insane trilogy on the PS4. Because I wanted to relive my 9-year-old self again playing the first game. and it's I liked it. I thought it was pretty good, and so, apparently so did everybody else in the world that had a PS4. So Ars Technica is reporting that internally at an earnings call that Activision was saying that this game outperformed anything, any expectations they had, wildly outperformed, to the point where it was the highest selling game of the summer and by a large margin. And yet it's only available on one platform, and it was not considered to be a AAA title. It was considered just to be, you know, a standard sort of remake that they pushed a little bit. But it's to the point now where they're completely reconsidering how they're going to be doing their game releases coming forward. So we're probably going to be seeing a lot more remakes, or not remakes, remaster slash remake. But this was a full remake, right, from beginning to end. There was not, it's not like they just took an old game and then pumped
and
it in,
upscaled it. Yeah,
yeah. This was from the ground up. I think they even had to recreate some of the music too. So the general gist of it is that, you know, they're looking to, I guess, probably offset some of the costs that they have of developing these, you know, huge AAA titles by spending a little bit of money remastering old titles and releasing them out, and they're hoping they're going to have the same success.
I don't mind this at all. This sounds
great.
No, me
either. Because this is not just a cheap, lazy job.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of us that grew up with the PS1, well, I didn't necessarily grew up, I was old enough to, anyway. You know,
were you a teenager?
When did the PS1, was it
95?
Yeah, I was 15.
Then you grew up with it.
Kind of, sort of, but not really. You know, all of us that started on PS and PS2 and all of that, and it's like, you know, we all have games we still love, but even with the new systems, even with sometimes backwards compatibility, it doesn't always work. So having something new that is the old game that is for the new system specifically to run the old game, I think is really cool.
And bundling three games together that are half the price of a brand new retail game is one thing too.
Yep.
Because the games, like up here, games are $80 now, and this was a $39 game if you pre-ordered it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. My only thing is once they eventually do more of these, are we going to get a Metal Gear Solid upgrade? Please?
Yeah, because they already had that. They had that collection where it was just like,
yeah,
you know, throwing it out, but it was
wasn't that just upscaling it though?
Yeah.
To whatever the, yeah, I mean, like, no, I want, look, I'm old enough to remember you had to have a PS1 memory card. You had to, you know, remove the first disc to put in the second. No.
Yep.
You know, I mean, obviously this is a game mechanic and hopefully they can still import this. You know, when you fought Psycho Mantis, you had, in order to beat him, you had to unplug from player one and be player two, so that way
yeah.
you couldn't read your mind. You know,
for them to do that now, you'd have to do something like, I don't know how it would work.
How would you do that?
Because it automatically only
wireless.
Maps you to the first. It only maps
yeah.
you to the player one if you only have one controller, and they can't expect you to buy a second controller just to turn it on. So what they would probably do is have it so that you have to have your controller plugged in charging in one of the USB ports or something.
Mm-hmm. Which
yeah,
that's
oh,
fine.
Can,
that's
you
not...
can detect your waves or whatever. You know, plug into the hard line something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Or yeah, I don't know, because there's some mechanics that we just don't use anymore, right?
Yep, pretty much. But no, that would be my ultimate wish for if more of this stuff is going to be happening. And for more of it to happen, especially with Spyro, I mean, let's face it, folks, Crash Bandicoot and Spyro the Dragon are the two mascots of early Sony PlayStation. They
absolutely.
Really are. I
absolutely.
Mean, it is not... Because...
Kratos
was,
and all them, that came later, but like
yeah,
at that time, you had some multi-platform games, but you had like it was the mascot wars. You had Gex, the gecko. You had what else was there? There was Croc that was like you were a crocodile. There is a bunch of them, but the two that really hit it out of the park were those two. And then you eventually had like the next generation of them on the PS2. But for PS1, it was those two guys.
Absolutely. Because Xbox wasn't around yet.
And they never really got one.
So when I think of video game mascots, it's Mario, Zelda, all the Nintendo ones, Donkey Kong, all that stuff. And then you get Sonic from Sega, and you get Crash and Spyro from PlayStation.
Yep.
You know. Mm-hmm. Microsoft, later, I don't think has ever had.
No. Well, they've tried with they tried getting with Banjo, and they screwed that up.
Yeah.
But yeah, the closest, like I was going to say, PS2 had the
Jack
Ratchet
and Daxter.
Clank, Jack and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank, and then Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
What a waste of a purchase that Microsoft with Rare. Oh my goodness.
Well, think about it. If you look, nobody's there anymore. They purchased the company and everybody left. So they all formed that Playtonic company that made the ukulele, which I still have to play. So
is that like Rock Band but with a ukulele?
No. You're an iguana, and on your backpack you've got a little bat character, and it's basically it's Banjo.
Yeah, that's
only,
Banjo again.
It was released on modern consoles. It was a Kickstarter game, and it made like millions and millions of dollars. And I'm waiting for the Switch version to come out because I don't care about a PS4. I want to play that on a Nintendo console. Damn it! But yeah, the original team, like, there's nobody at Rare is Rare.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is time for more
random news notes.
All right, Tristan, what's going on in the world of Netflix?
Netflix, they just bought Miller World.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the divisive and incredibly talented writer Mark Miller has created many incredible stories, including Wanted, Kingsman, Kick-Ass, and of course, Civil War and Old Man Logan. So many of his stories have already been turned into very successful films, and now Netflix is set to be the exclusive home for Mark Miller's yet-to-be-optioned properties. On the Miller World website, Mark Miller has posted a statement about his feelings and excitement over the matter, mentioning this is only the third time a comic book company purchase has ever happened at this scale, citing the 1968 purchase of DC Comics by Warner Brothers and the 2009 purchase of Marvel by Disney. So now it's time for fans of Miller World comics to start wondering and frothing about which stories they want to see coming to Netflix soon.
That makes sense because Netflix is similar to HBO in the whole, they get to make whatever they want. They don't care the rating. It can be a niche market. It doesn't have to be widespread appeal. And that would mean, my guess would be they'd have properties based on, what is it, The Kingsman?
Because
that's like that movie's coming out. And The Secret Service, like the main book series, was his.
Yeah.
So they can probably have a miniseries adaptation in that world easily.
Well, he's responsible. He's got Red Sun.
Kick-Ass, that book series. So I'm assuming then any of his movies will probably get pulled from whatever other streaming services they get and go straight there.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, when it comes to like Kingsman and all of that, I honestly would I already pay for Netflix. I'd rather have the stuff that I am already paying for be the home of whatever stuff that I'm interested to see, like Netflix or Hulu or whatever. And since this is a Netflix story, I'm like, sure, fine. More power to Netflix. That's great. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they've already proven themselves with a lot of other superhero and dark stories. They can pull it off as it is there.
I know that his imprint that he was doing was mostly created, wasn't it Marvel? It was a Marvel imprint, or was it Icon Publishing? Whatever it was, he was on.
Yeah,
he was brought in to basically try to ramp up their mature audience to be on par with what Vertigo Comics was doing years ago, right? So, and I know Marvel hasn't always done the best job with the mature audience, like the Max series. They're hit or miss. Basically, you've got Punisher, and then yeah. Wolverine Max, and then maybe Deadpool, and that's it. That's been successful.
Yeah, but no, this sounds like it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his, like, he's worked on other companies' properties, but just looking here at his own. He's done a lot with Image.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to see.
Yeah, he's one of those artists that I'm, or one of those writers that I'm eventually going to have to check out more of his stuff. I just haven't had the time to yet. So
he's done Wanted in his Miller world. Mm-hmm. Wanted, The Unfunnies, Kick-Ass, War Heroes, and they were published by different companies. So basically, he owns the properties, and then he would sell them out to other publishers to release them.
Yeah.
But still retaining main ownership.
Mm-hmm.
What else has he done here? And most of his stuff has turned into movies. Like Wanted was that terrible movie with with where you could apparently move bullets by moving your gun as you shoot and shoot around corners. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, he's done Jupiter's Legacy. He's got a few ongoing series right now. But like
American Jesus.
Yeah. And Netflix won't be afraid to adapt some things if they're a little taboo. But
we could spend an entire show, maybe we'll do this next week, looking at various Netflix original series. I mean, look at all the various original series that they've done.
Oh, I totally want to talk about that too. We should have that as a topic.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, they've done so many original series. And what Netflix has done with DreamWorks for the rest of us, oh my god. I know everybody is complaining, oh my god, Voltron Legendary Defender is season 3, it's here, but it's only 7 episodes. No, get over it. So, okay,
is it only 7 episodes? I haven't caught up yet.
Voltron Legendary Defender season 3 is out. It came out August 4th on Netflix.
Didn't it say part 1, though? There was coming, and they're splitting it in two?
They are, okay, they're splitting it in two, but I watched all 7 episodes. I'm not going to sit here and spoil it for anybody.
Okay, don't, because I will.
I know. I'll tell you this right now. There is a moment, and I'm not going to tell you where it is. You're just going to have to find it, and you're going to have to realize how awesome it is that they paid homage to the old series. It's a character moment, I'll say that.
Okay.
But I watched all 7. They did an amazing job. I saw nothing anywhere online that I looked for news saying that it was season 3 part 1. What I saw was season 4 is coming October 13th of this year. My assumption is that season 3 is 7 episodes, and then maybe season 4 is going to be 13. I don't know. At the end of the 7th episode, there is a teaser video that says Voltron Season 4. So, honestly, in the TV landscape we're in now, especially with Netflix and other shows that are doing the Breaking Bad short season thing, I don't mind that it's only 7 episodes.
Well, especially, like, I've never been a fan of having a 13-episode cartoon series where, especially if it's got a continuity going through it, where mm-hmm. then you have to wait, like, a whole year to get more episodes. Mm-hmm. If they start doing this where they'll animate 7 episodes, release it, and while they're releasing it, they're already working on the next batch, where mm-hmm. you can get every 6 months new episodes, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. But no, it is... 7 episodes of awesome. It's so great. Everybody needs to just go watch it. Stop listening to the podcast. Go watch the thing.
We'll be here.
Yeah. Come back. Oh, yeah. So, October. Yeah. That's not too far away.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're recording this August 7th.
Made the mistake of clicking on the episode number, and it's now showing me the plot. Delete, 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 delete.
I didn't tell you to do that.
No, I made that mistake.
Yeah, I didn't tell you to do that.
I'm going to have to gouge my own eyes out.
Yeah, huh? Pretty much. Then you won't be able to see it.
But I can listen to it, and it's well written and well acted.
Absolutely. I mean, they took I've seen the first two seasons. I've done a. I think my buddy Joe and I did a Tooncast Beyond on the first two seasons at the time. Season three picks up immediately where season two left off, obviously, and season three in the seven episodes gives you so much backstory.
Well,
so it, much.
It was surprising. Like I wasn't sure if I was going to like it when it first started, and. Mm-hmm. I think it's the first or second episode. There's a silent but deadly joke. And I was hooked and I went, okay, this is not written like a Japanese show. This is not even written like most American cartoons geared at kids. This is geared towards people that grew up watching it.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. And I had initial, you know, reservations about it at first when it was first announced a couple of years ago.
Well, because the last two series have been so terrible. Was it the Voltron Force or something? The really
Voltron
bad.
Voltron Force wasn't
Flash
that.
Animated one.
Yeah,
and no, or again the crappy Canadian one. Was it the Third Dimension?
Yeah, Third Dimension, and then,
That one's rough. Reboot looks better. Reboot looks way better, and it was like 5 years earlier.
Yeah, Voltron Force was not that bad. They just took the story in a different way. With this, because it's Netflix and it's people that actually care about what we all grew up on, because they probably grew up on it. Well, when I say we all here, I mean me. But anyway, you know, 1984, damn it.
I'm going to find, I have a picture where I'm holding the Voltron sword as a little kid, okay? So
yeah, well, that wasn't until 1992, so...
Found it at garage sale.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we found most things at garage sales nowadays. Everybody else just, you know, back then. Nowadays, everybody just goes on eBay. Anyway, it's one of those things where my initial hesitation about the show was it's not the original voice cast. And I know some of them couldn't be there, and that's fine. It's its own thing. I have no problem. And then my other initial reservation was, how can you not have John Peterson doing the music, and how can you not have Peter Cullen doing the voiceover in the beginning? But again, I get it. It's different. It's new. It's a whole new, different thing. But what they've done throughout the three seasons has been amazing. They've taken the history that we know, not necessarily the history, but the stuff that we remember from the old series and made it their own thing. And like I said, they did not even have to make this homage that I'm non-spoilering referencing here, but they did. And everybody should love them for it. If they don't, you had no 80s childhood whatsoever. So yeah, now that I've gone off on that tangent, let's see what else we got. I had a story about Bitcoin, but it's too much technical jargon for me. Yeah, the Bitcoin civil war that nobody cared about is now over, folks. Apparently Bitcoin is going to be a company split in two. They're going to have Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin. I've never gotten it. I thought this stuff was all a scam. I'd never get into the electronic currency thing with Bitcoin.
It still feels like it could be a scam. Like, I know it's established itself so well, but the whole thing just feels too good to be true. Like, you hear stories of people like, oh, well, I used to have a wallet of 1,000 Bitcoins and whatever, $3 million. That doesn't happen.
No.
I was going to say, I understand the underlying concept behind it, but I also know that too many people don't understand at all what it is, and mm-hmm. that's what leads to people getting ripped off, the whole Silk Road, dark web, horrible things happening where it's money you can't trace that could be used for anything that has, you know, right now a crazy amount of value that I in theory and in concept it's a good idea, but mm-hmm. it doesn't work in real life. It's the whole communism thing. On paper, you're like, everybody's all happy and friendly and everybody works together. No, it doesn't work when you actually put it into practice, because humans aren't perfect.
Yes, Humans are why humans can't have nice things.
Exactly. That's exactly what I mean. And I sent you guys the picture of me with the sword. You can put that in the show notes if you want.
Oh, God.
Do it.
Yeah.
I was a cute kid, believe me.
What happened?
I know. I grew up and then I grew out. That's the TV that used to give me shocks. I think our Betamax player's in the background there. I probably had the Transformers movie in there.
Wow, that's crazy. Before we get to the in-depth topic this week, we've got not really breaking news, but as we're getting ready to record this today, Ryan Reynolds and Fox and whoever else is in charge of Deadpool 2 released the image of Josh Brolin as Cable. What do we think?
It looks pretty spot on.
I would say, yeah. Like, I wasn't sure if he could do it. I was still holding out for... what's his name from Avatar and other things? Stephen Lang. Because he just naturally looks the part. Mm. But yeah, he's gone through a pretty good transformation and he's pretty believable in these pictures I've seen.
Absolutely.
I hope they do well with the effects. It looks like it's going to be a bit heavy on the CGI and the eyeball. And I hope it doesn't go uncanny valley on us.
I won't really care because it's going to be it's over the top. It's
that's true.
It's Deadpool. It can be he can point out what's with your CGI and then like pull it out or something. Who knows? You know, he could do it. It's going to be a hard R-rated movie that mm-hmm. breaks the fourth wall. Like it could look ridiculous to us and to Deadpool, but then the rest of the world not even notice it.
Yep.
It's a beautiful thing about Deadpool. I like that. I can buy that
for a dollar.
And you know there's going to be some really lewd sex related joke to asking him how he lost his eye.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because there has Deadpool. To be. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's Deadpool. I mean, yeah. There are several. When I say several, I mean like three. Not counting Deadpool. There are like three Ryan Reynolds movies I actually enjoy. The rest of them I can just do without. Oh, God.
Yeah, you got Van Wilder.
Yes. Yeah, there's that. Safe House with him and Denzel.
Oh, yeah. And then Deadpool.
And then Deadpool, yeah.
Because everything else, like Just Friends and all the other... Hokey garb. Okay, sorry. His little bits in the Wolverine Origins movie. I mean, the first like five minutes of the movie, and then it was bad.
Yeah, that's because they got rid of him.
Yeah. Because I mean, like you could see why people wanted him to play in a standalone movie because he was perfect.
Yep. And he works well with it, and he's it's something he's passionate about. Unlike certain actors who read Ghost Rider when they were a kid. Anyway, and now we present our main event for this week, as this is our...
In-depth news topic.
Alrighty, Tristan, it's time to talk about your afterlife.
Well, I'm not dead, so...
Yet.
Yet, yes. Fast track to get there.
The day is young.
That Pop-Tart man.
If I keep eating those Pop-Tarts, yeah, I'm on in the fast lane to dying early. So here in Guelph, Ontario, Canada, we have a new video game lounge, retro video game lounge / bar scene that's opened up. It's called the Afterlife Video Game Lounge. It's been pretty popular. It's had a very warm opening. They sell some drinks fairly reasonably priced, but all the drinks are video game themed. You can order an Estus flask from Dark Souls series, or you can get some Nuka-Cola from the Fallout series, and they theme them well. They have clever names, but also the drinks feel like they resemble and are from those franchises, so that's well made. You can play a selection of current video games, retro video games. There's a minimum cost to play, but every food and drink order you have counts toward that minimum, so it's really not that expensive. It's really nice venue, and you can go and enjoy a lot of games that you grew up with other people, and pretty much everyone that I've seen there while I go is around our age. So they're in their 20s, they're in their 30s, and they're people who just want to revisit some childhood with some friends and have a good time. So having that here in town and seeing more and more of these places open up is really reassuring that gaming is just as popular as ever, and now it's more socially open.
I was going to say that it sounds like a very similar to the Adventurers Guild that opened up here in Kitchener about 2-3 years ago. And they're right downtown. They've been pretty popular. The same thing. They have you can just go and eat food if you want to eat food, but if you want to play any of their board games, their pen and paper RPG games or their video games, it's a $5 cover, and that's for the whole day. Or you can get a membership that's for 6 months or a year. And they didn't name their drinks, but they named their sandwiches. They're basically a panini place, and it's like there's the Triforce of Wisdom, which is sweet peppers, mushrooms, blah blah blah, and the sort of themed Triforce of Power, Triforce of Courage. The Ganon, it's very Zelda themed, it seems.
Yeah, Zelda's pretty heavy in Afterlife as well.
The Battleship, which is tuna. Basically, it's a grilled tuna sandwich.
Did you just say a Battleship grilled tuna sandwich?
Yes.
What the hell?
What, the Battleship, that's the name of the sandwich. It's tuna, mayo, sun-dried tomatoes, capers, aged cheddar, grilled in a panini. And then they have the Donkey Kong, which is a banana. Hazelnut chocolate. I'm assuming that's not supposed to be poop, because
that's rare thing, because, right there.
Because think about it, Donkey Kong, monkeys and poop. And it comes with peanut butter. The Luigi, the Mario, and there's the One Up, and my favorite, which is the Fox McCloud, which is rose hip jam, bacon, aged cheddar. It's amazing. So, yeah, it's the same thing. Those sorts of places have been popping up everywhere. I did not know that Guelph had one, though, which is awesome.
It's right by the boardroom.
Literally, it's right by... it's right by the border.
Now, isn't there one downtown, though, too? There's a...
Boardroom. It's right beside Boardroom. You got the... Afterlife is right there.
So they're like, is it the same business, like just expanded?
I think it might be. If you're in the Afterlife Game Lounge, you can actually connect to the Wi-Fi for the boardroom. I think it connects to both. So I'm pretty sure they're both kind of the same idea. Just one's focused on the board games and the other is all video games.
We're going to have to take Dodd there, I think, then.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal.
And then we're going to have to have Blanchard come up and visit. And then he can come to the board game and be indoctrinated into the board game culture.
No.
Oh,
closest thing I come to board game culture is the old Knight Rider board game and Monopoly. That's about it.
Wait, you don't tell me you don't want to play those? What was that? What was the game where you have the pink phone and you have to guess which boy likes you? I played that last time I went.
That's not at all.
I remember the commercials for that one, but I don't think I've ever played it.
I've got pictures.
No, you don't.
Something cool I forgot to mention.
Oh, it's the dream phone. That's what it was.
That's right.
Okay. Stop it. Let Tristan talk, damn it.
Sorry.
Afterlife has a selection of 20 different shots, so you can pick whatever shot off the menu you want. Or if you're feeling adventurous, you can roll a D20 they have, and whatever it lands on, you get that beverage. And if you roll a 20, you get to keep the die.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
It's a nice little... little Easter egg, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, all of these places make me think of what we had here for a while called Dave and Buster's, where you could go in, you could eat, and you can play video games for like $15.
Yep, we got those up in Canada too.
I think we only have one, the one in Toronto.
There's one in Niagara Falls as well.
There's one. Okay, well, it's border, and it's like, but sure. I think the one in Toronto was the old Playdium.
Playdium's still around in Mississauga.
Is it?
Yeah, it's kind of run into some hard times. It looks a little dilapidated, but it's still because up and running.
The multi-story arcade, like the last bastion of arcades in the 90s.
Yeah, I used to go all the time as a kid. It was phenomenal.
And Dave and Buster's is Chuck E. Cheese for adults, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, glory. Pretty much.
Because
yeah.
I know that they do like MMA and boxing fights there. And
yep. Pretty much. All right, so this week our main topic is going to be how far pop and geek culture have really come, at least in the last 30 years or so, because, when I was a kid, back in my day, you know, nerd and geek, they were insults, they were negative terms, and now it seems the entire world has let out their inner geek and inner nerd and things like that. Where majority of the new, okay, look, we get it. Murders happen every day, bad stuff happens every day, the news channels, the newspapers, all that stuff has to report on that, but the majority of the news I get has at least one or two different geeky spins on it now, but it's everywhere. You didn't see this, you know. It was an awesome thing in 1989 when Entertainment Tonight covered the release of Batman the movie. Well, Batman the 89 movie, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where back then we didn't have a lot of this stuff because obviously the internet wasn't around yet. But now it's like it's exploded.
Yeah, you had to rely on magazines and fan clubs.
Yep. Fan clubs that never panned out in some cases.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk about scams.
Oh, did you get ripped off by like a David Hasselhoff fan club or something?
Kid? Yes. Shut up.
No, I've got the autograph on my wall because I saw the guy sign it. I was standing right next to him when he did it.
Insert offensive item right here.
Was he lying on the ground eating a hamburger in the bathroom?
Oh my God. That was before that happened. It was back in his heyday.
Because I would love to take a screenshot of that and have him sign it for me. Because I'm a dick.
You know, all Michael Knight lives matter, damn it.
Oh my God, that's good.
But yeah, I mean, you know, we now live in a world where at times it seems like it's oversaturated with geek culture and things like that, but when you have just people you don't think talking about this stuff that are talking about it, it's like, oh, you know, like I said, sometimes you'll see on the news about various movie openings and things like that and whatever else, but unless it's an actual geek website reporting on it, you don't really... I'm sorry, the Today Show is not going to get... they're more obviously mainstream. They're not going to cater to us directly. You know, same thing with the Late Show stuff, with any of the American late night TV personalities. Some of them are geeks like Jimmy Fallon.
Or Conan. But Conan does his gaming one where he sort of makes fun of the game, but then he plays the games. What is it? I forget what it's called.
I don't know. I'm not a Conan fan at all.
No, you find the clips on YouTube where he'll be advertising a new game and he plays it for the first time and gives his opinion as somebody who's not a gamer.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, they have all these people, like, you know, they'll have, you know, Mark Wahlberg, for example, from Transformers 5, or they'll have Gal Gadot from Wonder Woman, or they'll have Vin Diesel from the Fast franchise come in and do the traditional late night show talk of, oh, the movie's out, that kind of thing, promoting it. But it's not the same to me as seeing it on some reputable geek website, because there are plenty out there. Like, I had to find two different reliable sources that I knew before I would even mention the fact that Hasbro is planning on a new Transformers animated film, which is based on the Bayverse. Don't quit while you're ahead, Michael Bay, please. You know, so I don't know. I just find it fascinating where we're now in an information age where we're on information overload, where when I was growing up, we had to literally hunt down the information either in the newspaper or, you know,
to get a magazine from the store.
I was going to say, I have a subscription to Nintendo Power, EGM, I think a Rock and Roll magazine, and maybe another one, but like you had to have like four subscriptions to get the basic news you wanted to hear on whatever topics you wanted.
Mm-hmm. And then it took a month or two to get there.
Yeah, not realizing that when you did get it, it was already 2 months old news.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was nothing cooler than getting Nintendo Power in the mail. There was nothing cooler than that. even though it usually ended up being there the third or fourth week of whatever month it was.
It's still an amazing feeling. Like there's so
oh,
much.
Oh yeah, no, no, no. I know. Yeah, through. Yeah. It was an amazing feeling. Absolutely. I'm just saying because I found out through calling the, which I don't even think it even works anymore, the 800 Nintendo line, 800-255-3700. I don't even think that works anymore.
Please do not call for game tips.
Yes. You know, I would call that, you know, to figure, you know, find out where the hell my damn magazine was. If my mom is paying for this, damn it. Where's, and I found out that magazines, and again, this is, you know, I was 8-9 years old, so I didn't know at the time. Magazines are classified as third class mail, so they will always come as late as possible. It's not, they're not guaranteed to get there within the first couple of weeks after ordering them. So, yeah, but no, Nintendo Power, look how far the Simpsons have come, and some might say fallen off the face of the earth. I'm still waiting. It's been 10 years. They said they weren't going to wait another 20 years. I'm still waiting for the Simpsons movie too, damn it.
I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. They did their thing and they don't want to do it anymore. It's they've got a new format for their show where it sucks and that's what they want to do with The Simpsons now.
I have not religiously watched, I would say, since about season 5 or 6. I've caught episodes here and there. Yeah, I know.
4 through 10 is the best. Even then, Ben's pushing it.
Yeah, I've caught episodes here and there from like 11 to what are we on now, 27. It depends on the topic of, like, there was a topic about, I think it was about because of course me, where Boston sports was in the episode, and I'm like, oh, you assholes, you better not screw this up. And they did a fairly alright job of it, but you know, like, The Simpsons isn't what it used to be.
No, I think the problem now with The Simpsons is they can write good little bits of things, but they're missing so much of the spirit of what The Simpsons used to be, that was layers of comedy on top of layers of comedy, so you could go back and watch the same episode and catch things the fourth time you didn't catch the first time. It just keeps adding more, and it's so memorable, and everything flows so well together, and now the episodes just feel like here's a cheesy one-liner, or Homer's just angry and especially stupid, not just kind of an oafish fool that's trying to do right but ends up being a little bit clueless. Now he's just stupid for the sake of stupid, and it's not the same, and it's not funny.
Mm-mm. Nope, not at all. What else do we want to talk about as far as how far we've come,
well,
Alex?
It seems that I was going to think about doing this for a topic for another time, but it can tie in that in bringing geek culture to the forefront, it also means anything 70s and 80s is now cool again, right? Mm-hmm. So if you notice that the music trends are changing again, pop music, I'm finding more and more artists are coming out, and they're sounding like 80s new wave pop bands. They're moving away from the, I guess, the pounding electronic sound where there's no instruments involved of, let's say, I don't know, like a Justin Bieber or the people where they have, you know what I'm talking about, that club sound.
I blame
sound.
Canada for that.
Well, yeah, but no, but I mean, you know that club sound that you hear where it's just like the bum, 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 but it's all distorted and overblown, the David Guetta stuff.
Oh, well, God. Now all I can think of is that scene in Good Will Hunting when he's with the therapist talking about the nightclub he's in, and oh, God.
Well, if you notice, like, groups are moving towards a more pop sound, like Linkin Park had done, right? And they got flack for it. But I was just listening to the radio, which is something I don't usually do that often, and noticed that another group that I had never really listened to, because they were a little past, you know, when we would have been listening to the pop punk genre, Paramore, the girl singer, I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
But their new album is like, I thought I was listening to a classic station. It's straight up like Cyndi Lauper, Blondie, all these new wave pop bands from the 80s. And I then went and listened to the whole album, and the entire album sounds like it's from 1983. And the music videos for it look like they're from 1983. Everything that was 70s and 80s is now nostalgic and chic and in style again, which means why, you know, you're going to see people wearing Atari t-shirts or Nintendo t-shirts. You see all that. So that's become cool again. It's just like how, if you remember in the late 90s, when bell-bottom jeans came back for girls for that short 2-year period.
I'd like to forget, but I remember seeing something about that.
But yeah. That 70s show came to be because of how much the 70s was in the 90s.
And it's like every 20 years, things cycle through. So right now, we're on this big craze of, you know, nerds are cool, and what was the classical nerd look? Well, it was the 80s.
Mm-hmm. It was those thick-rimmed glasses. It's the messy, unkempt hair.
And that's the hipster look now, right?
Exactly.
Just added beards. That's it.
It's hip to be geeky. It's hip to be a nerd.
The look is merging a lumberjack and an 80s nerd.
Oh, God. I could be both at the same time. Damn.
You are a lumberjack 80s nerd.
Asshat. But you know, yeah, you know, and you want to talk about 80s t-shirts and things like that, with companies like Ripped Apparel doing, and it's not just 80s, but they do a whole bunch of different things,
80s tees, all these different ones.
I mean, Ripped, I think, is the best, only because I've bought the most from them. I think there was only one other shirt that I think I bought from Shark Robot or something, but that was because it was only there.
And there's YT, where the logo's a Yeti. They do the shirts for the Humble Bundles and things like that. Yeah. So they're all modern takes or modern puns or twists on 70s or 80s things.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, you've got a classic Thundercats exclusive, you know, from them, which it's shirt formers. You've got
It's got to be tied into how to be successful nowadays. You have to do something in the high tech industry, or that's the perception. Yeah. So to be in the high tech industry, you have to be smart. You can't be a dumb jock. So even if you are a dumb jock, you've got to pretend that you're not, which is the reversal of what people used to have to do. You used to have to pretend that you were into sports or pretend that you know, to impress people. Now it's just the nerdy is sexy, I guess, and that's how they're marketing things.
Absolutely.
You can also mention the influence of television shows such as Seth MacFarlane and Seth Green's Family Guy and Robot Chicken, and how many references they make to 80s television and 80s cartoons and 80s culture. And how much it's brought that into today and brought that into the what's cool in the 2000s.
Well, especially when you look at that and look at Family Guy. Is that not the model that every online reviewer has done? Like every online personality on YouTube or channels like That Guy with the Glasses and Channel Awesome, all those networks that popped up about 10 years ago where people were, you know, creating, you know, angry person reviews this person, all it is it's the same formula as Family Guy. I present a little bit of facts and then I go into a flashback or a reference to something nerdy that most people wouldn't get, and that's the same thing. So yeah, you're right, it's probably Family Guy that's done it the most.
Yeah, and I would say the most groundbreaking cartoon series in the last 20 or so years is obviously, with how they tackle their issues, is obviously South Park. Yeah. I mean, I don't even remember what episode it's from, but I still remember Cartman when that series, when the first season first started, I still remember a DJ having, a local DJ here having the clip, you know, knock off all this tree hugging hippie crap. Like, I still remember that, even though I don't remember what episode of South Park it's from. I know it's from the first or second season, maybe. But it's just one of those things where, you know, things that have, you know, I just, okay, and this is going to, I'm going to get thrown under the bus for this. But I'm having a Chicago movie fix right now, where I want to watch various movies that take place or are filmed in the city of Chicago.
Oh, I thought it was movies about the band Chicago.
No, no, no. I'll look away from that one. But it's one of those things where the only one I will not is obviously Dark of the Moon, obviously, because they destroyed the damn city, morons. Anyway, but like, and I really hate to admit this because I know this is going, it's going to kill me. It's going to kill my reputation on this show. And I know Dodd's going to, if Dodd comes after me about watching all 224 episodes of Yu-Gi-Oh, this is really, you know, putting.
Why would you watch Yu-Gi-Oh? Why would you watch Yu-Gi-Oh? God, Pokemon, troll.
I miss, hey man, you made me miss my bus stop.
Because wait,
you made me make fun of you so hard that I missed my bus stop because it got me started on Nickelback, and then I had to walk 20 minutes.
Oh God!
I got off the bus and went, God damn it! That's what happens. I tried to troll somebody, and then it automatically karma comes back and smacks me right in the face.
There you go.
And it was hot.
Or... I was gonna say, or you could, you know, just. Have a Puddle of Mud song there somewhere. Well, anyway.
Because everything was blurry, so.
Yeah, well, you know. So, recently, like 2 days before we released this episode, for some odd reason, I wanted to go back and watch 2001's On the Line.
The hell is that?
It's a movie that came out in 2001. It is called On the Line. It's with Lance and Joey from NSUC.
Oh, my.
About Lance plays.
This is better than Yu-Gi-Oh.
Shut up, asshole.
Well, did you pair it with From Justin to Kelly and,
no,
and Crossroads and Spice World?
Actually, Spice World.
Okay, I'll leave Spice World alone. It's okay.
And From Justin to Kelly was bad, but it wasn't that bad. I would say out of all the ones you just mentioned, Crossroads was the worst.
Glitter.
Okay, well, Crossroads and Glitter.
Ice Ice Baby. But I didn't know they made a movie about the people that in NSYNC that nobody cared about.
Well, it isn't about them. It's a movie. That
did anybody notice that they weren't on tour with them while they were making it? They're just like, oh yeah, they're in the back eating sandwiches or something. It's like nobody cared that they were gone from the tour.
They had one of those apparatus that just attached under like a dummy to the other dancers, so they dance along with them and hop around.
Weren't they the two guys that looked like your average garbage truck drivers? So you could have just grabbed a couple garbage truck drivers and had them dance in the background.
Okay, for this song, we're going to need two volunteers from the audience.
You want to know the sad thing is? Yes, this movie did not obviously make its money back, but it's got a lot of powerful people in this movie. Outside of Lance and Joey from NSUC, it's got Al Green in it. It has... Tamela Jones, Dave Foley. It's got George's dad, Jerry Stiller, in this. And the music for the movie was done by Stuart Copeland of The Police.
Good God. Jeez. Oh, it's not the other guy. I thought it's just the one guy that's useless from the band. The fat one. Batone.
But basically the
yeah, how he didn't think to change his name is beyond me. God, this movie cost $16 million to make.
And it only made back four.
Cameo.
Just over four. Again, the only reason why I watched the movie is because I remember seeing it when it came out on DVD and things like that back in the day. And
it's got a 19 on Rotten Tomatoes, dude.
Yeah, I know. Well, but
the funny thing is, that's better than a lot of movies. So we, it says it was an inept attempt at a romantic comedy.
Insert offensive item right here.
Is it a romantic comedy between those two guys?
Because
it wouldn't surprise me from the one guy.
No, okay, that's just wrong.
Dude,
that's just wrong.
Because, oh man, even the poster reminds me of Ready to Rumble.
This is awful. Awful.
Well, the point of the plot of the film is that Kevin meets this girl, they hit it off, and it's the standard, you know, didn't close the deal or didn't get her name, didn't get her, so he's in advertising and he does all this stuff to try to find her kind of thing. I'm trying to think of what 80s movie this sounds like. I can't think of anything at the
God point. China's in that movie.
Yep.
So that means I'm gonna have to watch it when I do the whole every wrestler movie ever made with God watch.
Yep.
Oh, that also means he's gonna make me watch her pornos, which I'll have to bring a barf bag to that.
Okay, but
horrifying.
That's terrifying. Yeah.
They have her listed as female hand wrestler.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they have her listed as female.
Yeah, are they sure?
Oh,
it's too soon. I know.
No respect for the dead over there, Jesus.
She was a handsome woman.
Oh,
that's a real term. Usually reserved for old ladies, but still.
Very apt.
Oh. Anyway.
Now let's see how many fans get pissed off at me. I kid. She's dead, and what are you going to do about it? Okay, sorry.
Know where I was going with this. Why I even admitted even
well,
seeing
you were,
the
you
damn
were, you were going on the I line. That's what you were doing.
Kind of derailed this
funny.
One.
Funny. Yeah.
Sorry. I just completely blacked out with. You watched an NSYNC movie starring the people from NSYNC that nobody cared about.
Okay, well, I've also seen In Time, which starred Justin.
I like that one, though. So I'm okay with that.
How about Friends with Benefits, which is Justin again?
No, I don't think I saw that one.
Really? I'll have to point that out later. Anyway.
Oh, wait. Is that the one with Chick from 70 Show?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see it, but I wanted to see it. I was working.
Okay.
It. Yeah.
We'll find it for you later.
Yeah.
but yeah, no. I mean, you know, you just look at all this. The reason why I brought the whole thing up about On the Line was because, you know, we're talking about things that were 80s, 90s, especially in the 90s, and the whole culture on that film. Is like TRL before Carson Daly TRL.
TRL was a request show?
Total Request Live on MTV, yes.
So for the Canadian listeners, it's basically the normal couple hours a day we had on Much, which I don't know if we had a name for it.
Yeah, probably.
Like we had the top 20, but there was the, I forget what it was called now, where they had their jockeys that would interview the crowd, and they would pick out songs that they wanted to see the music videos for. So, yeah,
essentially what it is. Yeah,
and then you'd have like live band come on every once in a while, sort of thing.
Yeah, it was essentially TRL in the '90s and even into the early 2000s. It was essentially it was on every day at from 4 to 5 p.m. on Eastern on MTV, and it was essentially our or the '90s kids. You know, it was our Today Show. It was our kind of thing that was not, I mean, they did do a bit of music news and things like that, but most of it is having a guest come in and either perform or having a guest come in and do something like what the late night stuff does, where they talk about whatever they're doing or whatever they're working on, things like that. So yeah, but it was mainly for, you know, the younger generation at the time. It was not for our parents or anything like that.
So it's like when MTV started to cut back on having all these separate shows, they sort of made it into like a super show sort of thing.
Yeah,
because I know they had like MTV News, you had all these other programs, and then
MTV News was kind of like their It was kind of like their break-in kind of thing. It was a shorter thing. It was like, and I could be wrong when I'm saying the time here, but it was like news on the half hour or something, and it was like a 5 or 10 minute thing. You know, it was usually just like one story.
Or like an interstitial between shows?
Yeah, that's kind of what it is, yeah. It wasn't really its own separate show. What else do we want to say about how far geek culture has come, Tristan?
We really got off topic on this one.
We did.
Like, holy. the only other thing, there's a bit of a negative part of how geek culture has developed over time, and it's the people who do it ironically. They claim themselves to be a geek. Oh, look at me, I'm such a geek. I just spent 2 hours watching a Netflix show. And they wear all the t-shirts that say just nerd across the front. And then if you ask them about, you know, well, what are you into? They go like, oh, you know, stuff and sports. And it doesn't capture what being a nerd or a geek actually is. They just do it because it's popular, so it defeats the whole point.
That's the reason why I don't do a lot of popular stuff. Like,
you don't actively seek out things that are unpopular, which is the other extreme, right? Like,
exactly.
No, there are people that'll do that are, you know, I'm so different because I like this. Well, you don't really like that. That's a piece of garbage. You just happen to say you like it because you want to be different.
Well, that's so mainstream, they say. Well, fuck you.
What's wrong with being mainstream?
I only watch Lebanese sitcoms because the...
An original Lebanese.
Yeah, because I know, and we can't have subtitles. That takes away from the program. Yeah, those kind of people.
I think I've said this before on the last 19 episodes of Nerd News. If I took a Russian, like a half a semester of Russian in high school my senior year.
That's cool.
I can still speak like a few different words and things like that. I can't talk in Russian or anything like that, but
that'll be really useful when Putin takes over.
Oh God. You better be careful. I mean, you know, if we put that wall down south, we're probably gonna put a wall up north too.
That's okay. We can keep all the wood and all the water. It's fine.
But it's one of those things where, for me, in subtitles, unless an anime or anything that's foreign is dubbed in English, I will not watch it. Because if I can't speak the language or if I don't know the language, then I'm not going to sit here for 2 hours reading a damn screen. That's work to me. That's not enjoying a film.
It's a purely visual medium if you're spending the entire time reading, because there's just so much on the bottom of the screen that I'm not really enjoying all the things that are happening elsewhere.
I get that, too. I've gotten to the point, though, where I can, depending on the program, if it's supposed to be a serious show or a drama, I won't watch anything with subtitles. But if I'm watching, like, Dodd and I are watching, like, the Power Rangers episodes that are going to be coming out here in, like, 2 to 3 years. We're watching the Japanese ones as they air, and people are subtitling them, and it's good enough because it's the kind of show where you don't need to be even you could not read the subtitles and still understand what's happening because it's a formula that they follow every time. But I totally get it for certain things; it can take away from it. I don't mind it in a movie where I actually prefer it if it's in a movie where somebody is going to a foreign country and then they have subtitles for those actors. It's fine because that's real life. But I do agree, like, if it's a very, very text heavy show, I won't watch it either.
Mm-hmm. I just can't. It's not, like I said, you know, I mean, it's no, just no. I don't care if I'm missing something. If I'm missing it, then maybe I'm supposed to miss it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, this is so great. Everybody should be... And we all say this about anything that we enjoy. So, you know, I'm not trying to sit here and, you know, be a double-edged sword or a double standard here or anything like that, or a hypocrite, but it's like we all enjoy various things and we'd like our friends to at least try it out, but I'm sorry, there's one line I draw. If it's not in English, I cannot enjoy it. So there's no way in hell And just how far the tech has come in the last, even the last 20 years, but just the overall, I mean, you know, most movies 30 years ago were actually filmed, or sets were built, or miniature sets were built. And what now we can all...
Practical effects.
Well, and they wonder why television viewership is being eroded away. People can tell when something looks cheap or looks lazy because of CG. It's telling, like, I would rather watch a movie that costs $1 million to make but has practical effects than a movie that costs $25 million to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it surprises me with some movies that what budgets actually are or were and what the box office is. I mean, you know, I'm like, oh, that movie made it double its box office. It's going to be a cult classic at some point. And it could, you know, you could put any movie name in there. You know, most of the Kevin Smith stuff, the good Kevin Smith stuff.
You have to wonder where that money goes that they're putting into the production, though. Like a movie that costs $20 million, what costs $20 million in there?
Well, exactly. It's not like it used to be where you were spending money on however many feet of film you needed. And development firms and everything, it's all done digital. So, and you're not buying the cameras for your movie unless it's the first movie your production company's ever done. So you're renting them, or you're using them over the course of multiple films. So the money is going probably to music licensing. And even then, a lot of that stuff's covered by like having Pepsi ads and stuff, because, you know, maybe Sony or somebody has, you know, a partnership with Pepsi. So if Pepsi's in there, you get the music for free, that sort of stuff. They all have those kind of deals. And let's be honest, actors are paid way too much money for what they do. Mm-hmm. They pretend for a living and then get $20 million for 9 months of work. It's too much.
And some of them usually end up putting $20 million up their nose.
Well, that's that too.
Not all of them.
Like,
but
do you need five houses? No, you don't need five houses. Do you need 30 cars? You don't need 30 cars. Now, that's not all of them. Some of them will, you know, turn it into something good, maybe charity, or invest it into their own productions or that sort of thing, which is fine. Go ahead and do that. But I think there's a problem when just because your movie makes $2 billion doesn't mean that your actors deserve that kind of money.
I think you're asking where, you know, a $20 million budgeted movie, where that money goes. I think, honestly, a lot of it is advertising.
Yeah.
A lot of it is, because, and we've talked about this on Twig and other places as well. I've talked about this where, you know, most of the trailers we see, that's not the film company. They source that crap out to trailer companies that do that specific thing, that take what pieces of the movie that have already been filmed and cutting them together into, you know, a theatrical trailer, a teaser, whatever. Honestly, I think it has to do with advertising for the movie, whether it's t-shirts, whether it's posters, whatever it is. Because if a movie studio is going to give a director or whoever, you know, $20 million, I seriously doubt right away that like you said, unless, you know, Pepsi and Sony have a pre-existing deal, I'm pretty sure part of that has to go into, you know, ways to get music and things like that and all of that, and that's a cost too, not just getting the music, but if you want, you know, again, let's go back 10 years to Michael Bay and Transformers. I don't remember if What I've Done by Linkin Park was I know it was a new song on the new album that was coming out, but I don't know if they got anything, if they had already made the song that the movie just wanted it in, that you know, Bay just wanted it in the movie as the theme for the first live-action Transformers film, or if they had said, oh, well, we want you to do a song for the movie, you can still put it on your new album, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not sure how that worked.
Well, it costs a lot to do that, right? But what they used to do is, let's say Paramount, or sorry, Universal Pictures has a movie coming out, and they're like, okay, well, we don't want to pay for a score for this one, which would probably be the cheapest way to do it. We're going to use popular songs. Well, instead of just picking what's popular in the radio, they would go to MCA, their division that does all their records, and go, who are we pushing this year? And they would just grab the singles they already own and throw them on and make then make them popular after. But I think too much of it is like, oh, we've got to pay this musician, you know, $10 million to Sony to get the rights to that song for this movie because we think the movie's going to be big and we want it to be our track. So it's that. And I think a lot of it is we don't realize that even like indie pictures that have no discernible special effects, like they're not big budget movies, they could be a $20 million movie, they end up having to pay probably half their budget to effects firms to do all the color correction, do things in the background like blurring out store signs for products that they don't have the rights to show and change them to something else. Things that they do that because that way they don't have to pay people to set up, you know, new signs in the background. But reality is it would have been cheaper, and it is cheaper if you do things practically. It's just people have become lazy and they just assume everything has to be done digitally. And then you're paying these firms, you know, let's say it takes you a year to make your movie. Well, you've just paid 50 people that were doing the special effects like $50,000 each.
Yeah.
So that's where the money goes, because they're only working on that one project or two projects that entire year. Whereas all you would have had to do is pay three carpenters the time for a week to make you new signs to put in the background. But they all just assume, and it's all tied into unions, like, oh, you know, this special effects union is in place on this picture from this company, so you can't go to somebody else. You have to use us. And because you have to use us, here's our $3 million fee to do it. So usually you'll see people getting around that by, you know, making them co-productions with other countries. You'll see it'll be like a Canada, US, France co-production. And then that way they can use, you know, an effects firm in France that maybe isn't tied into some union that they can use. And then they'll go in Canada and use the Directors Guild or the Actors Guild up here because they can get a credit from the government for half the money they spend on the film back in the taxes at the end of the year to use Canadian producers. And then they'll use American talent to be the actors.
Yeah.
So it's all, it's a web of garbage.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a hot mess.
That's the entertainment industry.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, I think we've prattled on long enough here, so we are going to get the heck out of here, unless you guys have anything else you want to bring up.
I think I let it all out.
Yeah, we went in many different directions, so I'm pretty spent, I think. Yeah.
That's what she said.
There you go.
Thank everyone for joining Nerd News Universe this week, and we hope you will join us next week.
Butt sex.
No. No. Oh, I can.
I know.
I have a razor blade. I will cut your voice in half.
Butt sex.
All right. No. Where can the people find you online, Tristan?
I am available.
Shut up, Alex.
On Twitter at Tristopher, TRISTIFER, no butt sex. That's not part of the address. That's just me denying
this
butt sex.
This is nobuttsex.com. It probably goes somewhere really dark.
I guarantee it.
Alex, what about you?
You could find me on Twitter at Gravy Moose. And,
I'm at TF2 and Mike on Twitter.
Seems to be a whole bunch of other podcasts on here now.
Yep. I am, of course, TF2 and Mike. Thank you for joining us here on Twig's Nerd News Network. Join us next time to hear Alex say
butt sex.
No.
Say Tristan says something
fun. Tristan.
Something probably related to Pop-Tarts.
Probably. Yes.
Probably. Pop-Tart with a shotgun too. S'more Pop-Tarts. And Dodd will say
something horrible.
And I will just be sitting here shaking my head, not knowing what the hell to say. So we'll be back with all the news you nerds want to know next week here on This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network.
Buttocks.
Epic fail.
When will this insanity end?
We are This Week in Geek. Lower your shields and surrender your listenership. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
I have seen the mountaintops and they are glorious.
You can go to sleep on top of them and be comfy.
Wait. Say that again, slowly.
Tristan, Andrew, Donald, William, Winkworth.
It's a good thing you're not British, because you would almost be entitled to a crown.
Man, whoa, man, we had the best Chinese food. Tristan, have you had Double Dragon in this town?
I have not.
Well, and the little lady there, she's like, oh, yum, 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 I don't speak English, blah, 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 blah. Here's your food.
Insert offensive item right here.
Hey, don't look at me. I'm not putting them up to it. They just keep talking about me.
Pre-show? What was the pre-show? So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes a pre-show.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
That was wonderful!
Bravo!
I loved that!
Oh, it was great!
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful!
I was terrible!
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!